You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 471, and Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going. We survived the heat outside, and it's nice to be inside where we have AC, and I guess we should have all the Southern recruits at campus right now.
It's been muggy and hot for sure this last week. We've got just a bunch of little news items from relating to Notre Dame football. I guess let's just start with some of the recruit news. And some of this isn't all recruiting per se, but maybe there's a little update on Phil Dracovic. He had a pretty successful year this past year and won an award. We've got Demetrius Robinson, a former, you know, recruit that Notre Dame was after. He's no longer at Cal. And just some small, TJ Sheffield, you know, that's maybe the biggest story that we haven't talked about yet, but we were talking about it a little bit on the forums. So I guess let's just start with Phil Dracovic and what kind of accomplishment did he make this last season, Randall?
Well, Dracovic is obviously enrolled at Notre Dame already and practicing with the team, but he's still winning awards from his past season in high school in Pennsylvania. But last week he was actually announced as the Pennsylvania Male Athlete of the Year. So it's not just football. He was actually the Athlete of the Year. He also played basketball. And he's actually the first guy in about 50 years that was first team in two different sports in Pennsylvania. It was basketball and football. So he's an athlete. It gets frustrating.
Who was that athlete 50 years ago?
I don't know exactly. I didn't go back and see who it was. I don't follow Pennsylvania sports that closely. But it's crazy. I often talk about a guy like I'm totally blank. The Cowboys quarterback, Tony Romo. You know, here you have a guy that plays football and is good at it, and then he quits football, things don't go his way, ends football, and what do you do? He goes and tries to become a pro golfer. I mean, it's just like, hey, this doesn't work out, let's try another one. So they're athletes, that's just what they do. Dracovic's one of those guys, he's good at basketball, he's good at football, he's just good at what he does, and congrats to him for winning that award. And then can't help but we have to mention Demetrius Robertson. For those of you that do remember the wide receiver recruit that Notre Dame tried to get to campus to try to make up for the loss of Will Fuller, and just dragging on and on into the summer, and he had finally ended up at Cal. And now, after 2 years at Cal, he has announced that he's transferring to Georgia.
And Georgia Georgia Tech and Georgia were the schools in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. So they were in the mix before, and then I went back and found the thread on the forum of when we were talking about that leading up to his commitment, and it was kind of funny to read because we were actually making bets with Irish Don about. I mean, if he would commit to Notre Dame, what were the chances that he would stay there or transfer after he got to Notre Dame? Well, we didn't go through with any of those because he didn't end up at Notre Dame. But as Irish Don likes to say, that often when a guy can't make up his mind, he will transfer in a couple of years, and he was right on this one. And he is, back to Georgia, and I guess we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's not like he didn't have success out there. I believe he had some injuries his first year, and then last year he had a pretty good year, but he has had some injuries. But it's not like he was a flop or anything like that.
Let's get into there is some actual recruiting news, too. I said we were going to talk some recruiting, and then you know we talked about Dracovic and Demetrius. But the new rankings came out for Notre Dame's commits, or not just the commits, but for this upcoming season. What were some of the big moves as far as that goes? And was there anything surprising?
Well, a lot of the guys jumped up quite a bit. Here, let me get the list right here. But it was kind of expected. I mean, it seemed like Notre Dame was getting some very low-ranked guys, but it was kind of expected that they would make jumps once they started having some of these camps. Andrew Krzysztofik was a three-star offensive lineman from the same school as Phil Dracovic, but he jumped 212 spots. This is in the 24/7. He went from 349 to 137. And then Kyle Hamilton was another guy that Notre Dame was really high on, but he was ranked at number 359. He jumped up to 156. So now you got two more guys in the top 200 there. One is a top 150 player. And they both got their four stars, so they're now consensus four-star players. And some other targets that Notre Dame's after jumped up as well.
And do you know when do the next rankings update? Is it midway through the high school season or
around through the camps? I'm not sure. There's another one at the end of the, you know, after all the
summer camps,
the bowl game. I mean, they're All-American games at the end of the year. I'm not sure if there's another one yet or not. They jump, but I mean, you don't pay that close attention to where they are until I like to see where they're at when they commit. I keep track of that. I have that on record. Then I like to see where they end up when they actually sign with Notre Dame, because they go go up and down between then. But there are two guys that have made quite the jump.
Did anyone drop? Any of Notre Dame's commits, any of them drop significantly?
No, not significantly. Not everybody was moved. I mean, not everybody's been taking part in all the camps either, but those were some of the Krzysztofik and Hamilton were some of the biggest jumps. Krzysztofik was a three-star lineman, which now means that all of Notre Dame's offensive line commits are four-star. So I think some people kind of looked at his three-star ranking and were like, why is Notre Dame getting him? But this just goes to show what the staff is doing, and it's good to see, because so often it was the other way around in past years where Notre Dame waited and waited and waited, and then, you know, they were trying to get guys once they were ranked very highly and everybody's recruiting them. But here you can see that Notre Dame is getting in early, getting the guys they want, and they can see the potential, and these rankings are showing that. So that it's good to see that and see that Notre Dame's ahead of the game. I guess some of the biggest news was TJ Sheffield's decommitment right after he had committed to Notre Dame. I believe it was 5 days. And it was a very weird recruitment. We talked last week about how it was a surprise. Everybody was surprised about this. Even the media world was surprised by his commitment. It seemed like there wasn't that much communication. There was no warning about that. You know, usually guys can have everybody kind of knows when somebody's going to commit or how good of a chance Notre Dame has, and nobody had expected. All of a sudden, he commits. And going back and looking through some things, like Brian Kelly had never, well, this is what happened. He committed, and at first it sounded like he was going to take more visits. Then he said no, he shut it all down. Well, then 5 days later, he announces, has a big, he put it on Twitter and said that basically, when he had committed, Coach Del Alexander, his recruiter, had he called him and he congratulated him. And then later, he called him back. Del Alexander called him back and was like, "We can't give you your scholarship. It's not going to happen." So he said that changed his plan, and you know, he tried to make it sound good. He accepts Notre Dame's decision as God's will for me. I know that God has an open door that no man can shut. Thanks again, Notre Dame, for considering me as a possibility for their program. The national media is trying to kind of bash Notre Dame with this, saying, oh, they pulled a commit from a guy that pulled a scholarship from a guy that wanted to commit. Well, I think he suddenly decided he wanted to go to Notre Dame, even though the talks for the coaching staff hadn't really been in contact with him. It kind of died out. And they were going a different direction. And then he decides he wants to go. I've always wondered if this would ever happen, and it did happen now.
It'd be an awkward conversation to make, you know, on Alexander's part. But yeah, Definitely, it sounds like Sheffield handled it very professionally. And I'm glad he didn't come out, you know, swinging, because then things just get ugly and
But when I was digging, I did meant Brian Kelly never tweeted out his "We are ND," the hashtag "We are ND," his signature tweet when there's new commits. So this was obviously a surprise to them as well, and it's one of those offers that went out that they're, it's probably their plan B. They got some other guys that they're feeling really good about, and I don't know if they checked in with those guys after he committed just to make sure, because they could have kept him if they wanted to. But here's a guy that I don't know how the relationship is down the road. You know, if Notre Dame wouldn't get the guys that they want right now, could they go back to him? But clearly they feel pretty good about some other prospects, or they would not have done this. Because it does, you know, they do need a wide receiver in the class. But obviously, Sheffield was not the guy that they wanted in the class, and they're feeling good with somebody else. So, kind of a weird situation, but that, I guess that's what happens when you put out so many offers. The more offers you put out, the more this is bound to happen. So, but that's about it as far as recruiting right now. Not a whole lot of other things. There, you know, there's camps happening, but not a whole lot of other stuff going on in the recruiting right now. I was going to, this past week, well, on Saturday, Drew Tranquil got married. And so he's going to be married and playing football, and we'll see how well he can balance that. I guess we should ask you, Ruben, do you think he can stay focused on football this next year with being a newly married guy?
There's lots of things going on. There's, you know, different responsibilities, different priorities change a little bit, but they kind of slowly change too as you grow in your relationship. So I'm sure he'll do fine. I'm sure he'll make it work. And I am excited to see what he's going to do on the football field. I mean, way to go. Congratulations on getting married, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do on the football field.
Yeah, I guess now if he does have an off day or off game, we'll blame his wife for it. So,
some surprise news. Randall, you just mentioned it to me. I hadn't heard it, but I guess Pete Sampson, kind of a big shift for him joining the Atlantic. Go ahead. Yeah, tell us a little bit about this, because I had no clue this was in the works. I wasn't even familiar with the Atlantic.
Well, the Atlantic is something that Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel, they're very heavily involved, or I think Stuart's the chief editor-in-chief. I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but I know they're the ones running the site. And but they now say premium. That they added quite a few college football. They do more than just college football. They do other sports. I believe they do another big one was soccer. I saw some people mention. But they now say that they added, I don't know, it's like a list of 10 different schools. They don't cover all the schools, but obviously one of them is Notre Dame, and they got Pete Sampson on board, who's been with Irish Illustrated. I'm not sure what all the dynamics are there, because he helped start Irish Illustrated. And so it's not like he's not going to be covering Notre Dame football, but he's just moving over to The Athletic. So it'll be interesting to see. It's a premium site, and I think today they actually have a really good deal if you sign up today.
And you had, yeah, it is a premium site. You had mentioned that it's their focus is not as much the quick stories, but they're more focused on in-depth stories.
That's what I understand. They already have an app. I was checking that out, and congrats to him. So nothing's going to change as far as him covering Notre Dame football. Yeah. It's kind of interesting reading his article. Today he said that South Bend has become home, so I've lived here, well, not in South Bend, but outside South Bend my whole life, so
it'll be,
I don't know any different.
Yeah, no, me neither, but I am excited to start following the Atlantic and some of the stories that Pete writes over there. And kind of along with that, the Bruce Feldman did put out his list of freaks, his freak list, right?
Yeah,
and Notre Dame got little love in that. Who made the list, Randall?
Well, Troy Pride is number 34, freak number 34. So he's been getting a lot. We've mentioned him before in some of these lists that, you know, as far as the fastest player and just different things, and he's on that list. So the expectations for Troy Pride are very high in this upcoming year. he's getting a lot of quite a bit of national attention from these different writers and making different lists. So I'm sure teams will be very aware of him coming in. And the thing is, he basically has a starting job, Neyland, but not necessarily. It's not like, I mean, Notre Dame has good depth at cornerback.
He's getting a lot of love for not being a returning, you know, frontliner.
Yeah. To me, it'd be safer to say that Julian Love is one of the starters.
And as
Troy Pride, he ended the year like that, but it's kind of shocking to see how much love he is getting on these lists and stuff for not even starting for a full year or not having a bigger resume than what he has.
Yeah.
But it's speed. So Notre Dame is finally on that speed list. But there's a lot of different lists going around right now. CBS Sports has one for the ranking the athletic departments of each school. Notre Dame is at number 6, which was actually a bit higher than what I expected, just because it seems like what you hear about Notre Dame is this old school, you know, they're behind, they're not the leading edge anymore. You hear about Texas, how much they spend on their locker room, and you know Clemson is doing how much to their facility, their practice facility. I mean, it's crazy some of the stuff the schools are doing, and sometimes it feels a little bit like Notre Dame is behind. But as far as the overall athletic department, Notre Dame is at number 6. Ohio State was at number 1. But if you look at all the different sports, I mean, Notre Dame has how many different sports on their, you know, not every team has not every school has a lacrosse team, or, you know, Notre Dame has a good soccer team, hockey, rowing, fencing. I mean, just the list goes on and on. So they do have a good athletic department, and they're getting some love for it. So, and then as far as some other rankings, I don't know if you play Madden football at all, but those rankings have been coming out as far as what each individual player is ranked. And I guess the best news is Notre Dame has 2 players that are ranked highest at their position, which are paid the highest as well, but Zach Martin at offensive line, and then Harrison Smith at safety.
And those have been the two. I would have felt really good about Harrison Smith because he did get, you know, paid the most money. But Zach Martin, I would have been a little, I'm surprised to find out that he's ranked, not high, but ranked at the top.
Well, he is the highest paid guard. So maybe that, I don't know how much that influenced the money, influenced their rankings, but.
Well, but they should, I mean, they should go somewhat.
Yeah.
Be somewhat similar.
But you can find those online, all the different rankings, but it's good to see that. It's good to see in the NFL, the NBA, as far as Notre Dame players in the NBA, that's not going quite as well right now. So it's good to see them be successful in the NFL. So as far as the NBA news, I found Pat Connaughton got cut by the Trailblazers, which he seemed to be getting better, but I'm not sure what the whole situation is there. Jerian Grant got traded. Matt Farrell kind of struggled. I doubt he's going to make a team. Bonzi Colson couldn't play any. He was with the Cavaliers for the summer camp, but he couldn't even play because of his foot surgery. It's just Notre Dame player Demetrius Jackson is probably going to get cut by the Celtics because they have a lot of depth at guard, and it's just not looking very good for Notre Dame player. Zach August was with the Kings, but he kind of had an up and down. Some people think he'll get a contract. I don't think he will. Not doesn't look very bright for a lot of those guys in the NBA right now.
It's still a good sign that there's a handful of guys that are kind of on the edge.
That's true. That is true. So you can look at it like that. And then as other watch lists, other lists that are coming out right now, Brian Kelly is on the watch list for Coach of the Year. So he's
not the hot seat.
No, this year he's actually not on the hot seat. So maybe that.
It still cracks me up how quickly he goes from fans and the media in general, but especially fans. Yes, fire him, get rid of him.
Oh, I'm sure fans still think
that. I'm sure there are still some, but now, after having a season where they were, you know, very close to joining the playoff, and again, I'm not okay. I'm not going to defend Brian Kelly if he ends up having an 8-4 season, because I can't defend that anymore after as many years as he's been with the program. And I do feel like the program has more talent than it did 4 or 5 years ago. So yeah. I'm not going to defend him if he has a poor season. And I would define a poor season, if it's anything less than 9 wins, is very poor season. It'll be hard for me to defend him at 9 wins.
Wow, you're.
I've just upgraded my standards when it comes to a winning program.
Yeah, and while we're on Brian Kelly, he did play in some celebrity golf classic, and he almost got a hole in one. He was a couple inches from it. Even though he didn't place very well, he was 54th. There was other Notre Dame guys that played. Golden Tate did the best. He was 37th. Jerome Bettis was 42nd. Joe Theismann was 45th. And Tim Brown, 48. And Brian Kelly came in at number 54. So I'm not sure how many players that were actually involved. But he did come very close to hole in one. And if he didn't get a birdie out of that hole, he's horrible at putting. So, but anyway, and then some of the other guys on the lists, I don't always mention them, but Brandon Wimbush is on the Maxwell Award watch list, which is the College Football Player of the Year. Coney and Tillery are on the list for the Bednarik Award, the best defensive player. So there's some guys. I'm sure there'll be more, but it's watch list season, and they're on some of those lists, and it's good to see that.
All right, and we got fall camp coming up real quick. It starts August 3rd. Brian Kelly's press conference the day before, and I mean,
that is crazy.
It's just right here. It's just a few weeks away.
I think there's only 6 more Saturdays with no football. So whatever you want to get done, you better get your honey-do list done in the next 6 Saturdays.
I'm not gonna get it done. There's way too much to get done.
Well, then you need to cancel it.
But so. it'll just be postponed.
That's good.
And then, Randall, I understand there's single game tickets going to be on sale July 26th.
Yeah, they announced today that July 26th at 6 p.m., the single game tickets will be available. I've never actually bought those tickets like that, but I know you got to be on the phone right away if you want tickets. So
to me, it's just too easy to buy them, you know, the week before or the week of the game. Either different online...
Well, yeah, that is if you're local.
Oh, I guess. That is true. That is true.
You need to plan for it beforehand, so... But...
All right. I don't have anything else. Did you have anything more?
No, I don't.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Check back next Monday. We'll have another podcast going. Head over to the forums. Sign up. It's free to do so. And we'll have more conversations going on as fall camp is just around the corner. And we'll continue talking about Notre Dame football throughout the season. So I hope everyone has a good week. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.